Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Alicia Seckerman. Tackling your questions on the line this evening is Jean-Pierre Fester from Protea Capital Management and Dricus Kronbrink from Capicraft as well. So don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us this evening. So let's take a look at how you're evaluating the situation right now, Jean-Pierre, because on the one hand, we've got concerns about the state of consumption stateside. It's come hand in hand, though, with concerns about supply disruptions and what could emanate from China or the lack thereof, what cannot probably come through from China right now. How are you interpreting it all?
Yes, Alicia, and I'll add to it, inflation, is it going to be transitory or not? We've seen, especially in energy markets, that inflation is quite high. So, as usual, there's a lot on the macroeconomic scene to worry about. For me, I think I acknowledge that I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not an economist, and most economists actually also don't know what's going to happen. But what I do know is that valuations are high. And when valuations are high, there's not a margin of safety for if something goes wrong on the macroeconomic front. And things are going a little bit awry. If you look at rates rising and you look at high energy prices, plus consumption and the other issues you mentioned. So because of that, I'm more cautious than what I have been for quite a while. We've decreased our net exposure in our funds, and because valuations are high, it means there's not a lot of space for shocks to the macroeconomic system. I don't know if we're going to get shocks, but if we do, I think valuations aren't at a level that would compensate one to take risk at current prices.
Yeah. So far, Dricus, where we've seen the hit come through, certainly locally, is on the resources front, right? It's the sector that was that pulled back the most today. How are you viewing that sector right now and the sustainability of any of that upside momentum we've gotten so used to over the recent past?
Well, Lisa, I think one must distinguish, as I've said before, I think on the show, is between different classes of commodities. And I think there's precious metals, of course, which is in a bit of playing its own game on the side, under pressure because of rising yields at the moment. But then there is two main, subsectors within the commodity space, and that's CAPEX commodities and OPEX commodities. CAPEX commodities are those that need infrastructure and buildings being built in the Far East, to go up. And that is hit a brick wall, no pun intended. And can't say I saw this coming, but the risks were there, iron ore to, come off those tremendous heights that it was trading up on just, June, April, $220 a ton. And at $100 a ton, some of the major iron ore producers are still producing a lot of, profits. They're generating good free cash flow margins here, which tells me it's not necessarily going to bounce unless there is some big knee-jerk reaction from the Chinese authorities, which I do not foresee at the moment, in which they try to prop up the property market in China. So yeah, that might cause a bit of a pop-up in the price. Bar that, I don't see any reason to start climbing into these CAPEX commodities like iron ore, but I do feel still a bit bullish on the OPEX commodities. There's an energy crisis, not only in Europe at the moment. There was one in the US not long ago. A bit of capacity was destroyed with the hurricane, Ida, not what's the recent hurricane there, and in China, they are seeing a lot of problems with regards to energy generation. So I think energy is still the theme that will disrupt markets.
Yeah.
I think that's the big, let's call it black swan, maybe for the later end of this year, that might cause the rest of the market to sell off.
Okay, so let's, in that context, then take a look at two stocks in particular. A viewer writing in about Exxaro, Jean-Pierre. It goes ex-dividend tomorrow. Hope they're locking in and selling forward at these coal prices. Anyway, check those PE and dividend yields out. Even at 120 iron ore price, their 20% Cision holding should make good money. Are you as convinced about the prospects for Exxaro?
It's an interesting one. I mean, on spot metrics, or let's say rather on backward-looking metrics, Exxaro is very, very cheap. If you look at what they produce, the two main commodities, coal and iron ore via Sishen, they are well-positioned. They made super profits in the last year because of iron ore, and they'll still make decent profits in the year ahead. Coal has gone the other way. Instead of coming down in the last few months, coal has just kept on going up and up. So Exxaro will make very good money from their coal, although one must keep in mind that most of their coal sales are on long-term contracts, not as much exposure to export coal. And we have problems on the rail lines as well, which means it doesn't matter what the price is of Richards Bay's export coal. If you can't get the coal to the harbor, you can't ship it and sell it. So if you put all of that in the mix, I can understand why Exxaro is trading at a very low multiple to earnings. But at this multiple, this is one of the few resource stocks where I do see a margin of safety, especially if you take out the 20 Rand dividend that will be paid or that the share will go X tomorrow. So it's one of the few commodity companies that I think there's value in the shares, mostly because of their coal exposure and coal doing well, and then the position in Sishen as well.
Yeah. Are you looking at the attractiveness of Exxaro because of coal in its portfolio at Aldrich? There's a lot of concern right now on the back of ESG principles that these players are going to be dinosaurs pretty soon.
No, I don't think they're going to be dinosaurs pretty soon. I think it's going to be longer than one would like. So I do see some value in the sector. We are long still a big coal player in the U.S. called Alliance Resources Partners. So it's a big coal and net gas play in the U.S., which is doing well at the moment, relatively to the market. And a while ago, I searched for a coal play locally. I missed Thungela. Maybe it's not too late for Thungela. I'm not saying it's. I think it's cheap on a spot basis, very cheap on a spot basis. I felt I missed that one slightly, and I looked at Exxaro and backed out Sishen Iron's valuation from Kumba's price, from using Kumba's implicit valuation of Sishen Iron, or what you're implicitly paying for it, and I basically found that you're getting most of the assets for almost free. So I went long Exxaro and short Kumba, but as John Pierce said, there is some mitigating factors. They're struggling to get exports out, etc., and Exxaro's management hasn't got the best asset allocation record, so we exited that one after we made good money.
Okay. Let's take a look at Sasol. It's been getting attention. Second best performer on the top 40 index today, trading over 5% higher. Jean-Pierre, is Sasol having a good run because of the oil price or because of the intrinsic value of the company, or is it a sheer combination?
It's a combination, and the two are intimately linked. So the higher the oil price, the more profits on that long-term assumption about oil prices will be Sasol makes, and the higher, therefore, the intrinsic value of Sasol. I would say that one needs to look at the rand price of oil, and that price is near a record, actually. So you've had the dollar price being high and the rand having weakened and being at relatively weak levels above 15 rand against the dollar, and that combination is great for Sasol. Plus, they are through the worst now with their chemicals complex in Louisiana. It's a pity they needed to sell half of the crown jewels right at the bottom of the market, but at least they kept half and avoided a rice issue. So Sasol is a wonderful tale of a company being down on the ropes. The countdown was at 9, with 10 being a knockout, but they got up and they have a few more punches within them. And really, it's amazing to see how Sasol has risen from being flat out, and therefore I still see value actually if the oil price stays at this level, that Sasol can continue rising because you have a perfect combination of weak rand and high oil price.
Drikas, on your side, do you see Sasol continuing to pack a punch, or is it time to bank profits?
Yeah, I think short-term target, obviously somewhere in the 300s, purely if the momentum holds in the energy market, then it will continue to see that chart reach into the last 300s at least. If you go by the valuations, you know, just the shorthand metrics that Sasol used to trade on, and you use that at spot prices, you know, then it should be worth closer to 400 actually. So, yeah, be that as it may, no other energy company is trading close to, you know, the valuations that are traded before. So one must remember that as well.
Yeah. Well, talking about top performers today, it was the financial index locally that bucked the overall red trend, Jean-Pierre, trading in the green. Can you get your panel's view on banks when interest rates go up? Will this increase the bank's profitability and yield? And I guess, you know, tagged on to that is that potential or that upside on rates, how we explain the kind of momentum that's taken hold of our banking sector today.
I'll use the Goldilocks analogy, Alicia, by saying that when it comes to rates rising for a bank, you don't want it to be too hot or too cold. And what I mean by that is if rates rise slightly from relatively low levels, that is in general positive for the banking sector because banks can reprice their loans, which generally are linked to a floating rate, while their deposits take a bit longer to reprice. And the deposits in rand value are less than the rand value of the loans because of assets being more than liabilities. Deposits are a liability for a bank. So that means that you get the endowment effect, which means slightly higher interest rates are good for banks. Mm. And that is what you're seeing now. And I would combine that with a metric of valuation of banks, which is price to book ratio, and say that our local banks in general are trading at the lower end of the long-term range of the price-to-book ratios that they used to trade at. And that means they are cheap. So if they are cheap with a nice recovery in profits and interest rates rising slightly, good endowment effect, that is a reason why the shares have done quite nicely, not only today, but actually if you look back even a bit further.
Yeah, we've had viewers, you know, single out a few other reasons as well, especially if we home in on the likes of an Absa, Drikus. Absa's BEE transaction update has certainly piqued market interest. It's up 4 and a bit today, and I'm considering a very long-term position to take advantage of this future-dated corporate action that will be open to employees as well as investors. If I couple this with the last interim update, and I recall the over-provisioning of the sector and what they had to make in the early days of lockdown, I feel positive about a two-year position in Absa. Do you share that sentiment?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, Alicia. I would say that Absa hasn't got the best asset allocation record, but maybe that changes going forward. There's a lot of room to bet on the record. So they're cheaper of the local banks, so that's maybe a point to make. And the second or third thing is that normally if there is some kind of employee incentive scheme or BEE scheme, then it's at a decent discount to the market price or at terms that allows you to make a down payment or to pay off the shares or to vest some rights in it. So those are... It depends on the terms you're getting. If it's good terms, then I don't see any reason why I should not go for it. And but yeah, I'm not too bullish on the sector long term. We need some much needed structural reforms locally before I can get bullish on a very broad economic play in SA.
Well, it seems like tonight our viewers are very focused on the top performers of the top 40 index right now. Jean-Pierre, let's take a look at Aspen. Is Aspen a short? Not sure why it's shot the lights out lately. It's done up from 198 to today, 275, 277 close to that in 13 trading sessions. Please advise. Any views there?
I think the blue sky opportunity for Aspen is what might happen with their J&J manufacturing. Are they continue just being a filling contract provider, or can they actually license the J&J COVID vaccine? And that means a much bigger revenue and margin opportunity for them. And I think there is some excitement in the market in the share price as people try to work out what the economics could be if they do get a licensing agreement with J&J. I think at 200 Rand per share, it wasn't sufficiently priced in, but at 280 Rand per share, maybe quite attractive terms of priced in that might not be quite as attractive. So I do think it's gone from fair value to slightly cheap to now more slightly on the expensive side in a very short space of time.
Okay. I've not left a lot of time for stock picks this evening. Drikus, let's get straight to yours. What are you going with right now?
Ticker code is RSXJ. It's an ETF. It's listed in the U.S. And it's the Russian small cap index, believe it or not. It's not actually that small cap. 75% is mid cap. That's $1 to $5 billion in market cap, which is not that small in SA terms anyway. Trading at an 8 PE, 4.5% dividend yield. And you should look at some of those companies in there. Great companies. And it's in a very isolated economy. If energy prices holds here, you know, they will see a lot of windfalls for that economy. So, low GDP Russia, they're accumulating a lot of gold at the moment. I see them as one of the better positioned economies for the next 10 years.
Sure, that's an interesting one to do some homework on. Jean-Pierre, on your side?
Combined Motor Holdings, a local small cap. They retail motor vehicles, and they also have a significant car rental business, First Car Rental. And they come out with a trading statement last week that indicated they'll make roughly 2 Rand a share for the half year. And the share is trading at 25 Rand. So it is trading at, call it a 6.5 PE, a very good management team that are founders in the business with a significant stake that aligns their interests. And I think in a tough environment like we have, for the business to do 2 Rand for the half year, the share price of 25 Rand, with a nice recovery looking forward, if you look at what car rental could recover to, if we get proper travel again in this country, getting off the red list soon, I hope. I think Combined Motor Holdings is very well placed. They must just sort out the shortage in cars with the new vehicle sales, but at least the second-hand vehicles are making up for that.
It seems like a case of easier said than done, Jean-Pierre. Just sort out that shortage. Let's leave it there.
Easy.
Let's leave it there for this evening. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Of course, Jean-Pierre Fester from Protea Capital Management and Drikus Combrink from Capicraft as well. We'll be back tomorrow to take more of your stock-related questions. For now, have a great evening. We'll be right back.